Yeah. Let's pray. God, you are so good. We could sing of your love and just keep on singing. And for some of us, that song is old. I remember singing that in college. For some of us, that song may be really fresh. It's certainly not a new idea. You are good. You have always been good. You love us. You are faithful. And so we worship you together now. I'm praying that wherever we're coming from today in each of our different locations, God, that you would meet us right here and speak to us through your word, because I believe you are inviting us into something new. So bless us, speak to us. We love you. It is in Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen. 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 You guys go ahead and have a seat. I'll let you guys off the hook. Thank you. I want to say hi to those of you who are watching this at our campuses. So hello to Fenton and Mid Rivers and Grants Trail and those of you who are watching online. And it's so good that we get to be together and have this conversation. But did you all get a chance to hear David Hawkins last weekend? Were y'all here for that? Good. Is it just me or did I hear him? Did he quote himself? Did I actually hear that happen? Okay, I thought so. That's game right there, isn't it? To quote yourself. Here's the thing. If David can quote David, then I can quote David. So here's something he said to y'all last weekend, and maybe it just blew right by you and you didn't catch it, but let me say it to you again. God does not need your permission to love you. He just loves you. Regardless, you didn't do anything to deserve it. You didn't do anything to earn it. He just loves you. That's who he is because of his goodness. And we've been talking about this good God of ours and how we're invited into this life in his kingdom. And when we receive this gift of grace, it is so much more than. It is abundant. It is overflowing. In fact, it's almost as if God just kind of opened up the floodgates of heaven and poured all of his blessing and all of his love out on you. So the writer of Lamentations, Jeremiah, says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. And then he just declares, God, great is your faithfulness. This is who our God is, and this is who we are invited to worship. And lately, we've been talking about these different invitations that we receive as a part of doing life in this kingdom with God. And we're gonna kind of wrap that conversation up here pretty soon and start to move into some new things into the fall. But before we do, there's one more invitation that I want for us to look at together. And in order for us to get there, I wanna ask you all a question. So here it is. If God is good, if God loves us the way we just said and sang that he does, then there ought to be stories and examples of ways in which we've experienced his goodness and his love in the last several months, right? So think of it this way. Next weekend is Labor Day weekend, which is kind of the bookend of summer, isn't it? Unofficially, we begin around Memorial Day. So just think through these last few months. Go back to Memorial Day. When has been a moment in your life where you have experienced the goodness of God? Now, some of you might be in a place where you're not sure if you're at the place where you think God's behind all of this. So maybe this is a way for you just to begin to think about it. If there's goodness in the world, if good things have happened to you in the last few months, could it be that there's a God behind it who loves you and who's inviting you into this relationship with him? But what I want you to think about is what would those moments be for you over the last couple of months? Would love it if you guys would talk out loud about this together for just a minute. And if you have the app on your phone, go ahead and pull up the app and let us know, because we'll have a dialogue about this. But when have been some of those moments? Could have been big things, things while you're on vacation, things at church, personal experiences you had, any of that stuff counts, okay? Talk to each other about this for a couple of minutes and then we'll keep talking. Go ahead. All right. So we're getting some things through the app here. You guys are kind of wrapping up your conversations here, but somebody at Mid Rivers just said, I was just being encouraged to serve this summer. Apparently that ended up being a good idea, and you experienced God's goodness through that. So that's awesome. Here in Chesterfield, somebody said, our kid passed college algebra. So woo-hoo! Getting to spend time with wife and kids a lot this summer, those kind of sweet memories you get to make as a family, it's really, really good. What about in here? We always start over here. What, over in this direction, anybody got anything? Where did you experience God's goodness? Yes.
I got to go to my hometown and see friends from 34 years ago.
From 34 years ago? You got to go to your hometown and see friends from 34 years ago. Man, that's awesome. I bet that just stirred up memories and kind of sweet moments you got to share with them. And you're reminded how God's been good even all this time, right? That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
was in Uganda.
Uh-huh.
And I got to meet some people that I didn't know I was going to meet. And now we are dreaming about the great things that God is going to do using us.
Oh, man.
With people that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Just a month ago.
So just for everybody to hear this, you were in Uganda and you got to meet some people that you weren't expecting to meet.
Nope.
But now already you guys are talking about plans and what God is going to do among these people that just met a month ago.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's God is good. That's very cool. Very cool. Yeah. Let me read a couple more of these that are coming through. Someone was saying, I got to travel with grandkids. We had a great time. Somebody in Fenton got engaged. Congratulations. Somebody in Mid Rivers, I got time to spend time with my 97-year-old grandfather. I got to have quality time with him. Man, that's awesome. Isn't it something about these moments that we have in life where it's like, God loves us so much. And we experience these things and it's like, man, it almost feels like in these moments, heaven is close, isn't it? It's like, anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like you could just reach out and touch God's face. Because it's so real. Now, this could be a different kind of experience for you. There's a whole bunch of different ways we experience this. Some of us this summer got to experience a sunset that was just perfect at some point. And it was like everything got real still. Maybe you got a chance to sit around a table with some people who you love a lot, friends, family, and time just kind of slows down, doesn't it? And you kind of get to look and just go, oh man, I just see God on the faces of the people that I'm interacting with. It's so good. Maybe some of you are celebrating some kind of a victory or a success or something like that. Sometimes these can be really big victories, big significant things. Sometimes they can be smaller, but no less meaningful to you. There's some who are in recovery who would say, I got through the day without a drink, and that's a victory for me, and God is good. Some of us have gone through really difficult times where maybe we've lost someone. And she's not here anymore. He's not here anymore. But you know what? Even though I was lonely and I missed that person, I trusted God. And by the end of the day, he was with me. And I saw his goodness. And he's good. That's end of life. Some of us see God's love and goodness in the beginning of life when you're holding that new baby for the first time in your arms. There's a whole bunch of different things. How about this one? When there's somebody that you care about a lot and you have a long, sweet conversation together, someplace public, could be that you're just up until all hours of the night talking. Those conversations can be holy. And it's like, man, any one of these moments, Jesus could just come walking into the room and return and you'd be like, well, yes, the timing makes sense, right? Because he's that good. So the Celtic church had this tradition where they would talk about these kinds of moments and they would describe them as thin places. It was like that space between heaven and earth was so close, so thin that you could just reach out and heaven was right there and you can feel it. Now let me ask you, in all of those moments, how are we to respond to those kinds of things? Well, for those of us who call ourselves followers of Jesus, I would say we respond by saying, God, thank you. I'm so grateful for what you're doing. God, I love you. Thank you for loving me. I could sing of your love forever. In other words, we worship. Well, here's the thing. When you live life in the kingdom of God, you are invited to many things. And we've covered them over the last several weeks. You're invited to community. You're invited to life, the abundant life. You're invited to the Missio Dei, the mission of God. But I would say more important than any of those things, in fact, weaving its way through all of them and bringing it all together is this invitation to worship God. You are invited to worship the one true God. The truth is, this is something that God created us for. He wired us deep down for worship. And we're going to spend the rest of our time today talking about what that means. But we could just start with this. Worship is whenever you ascribe value or worth to something or to someone. And you may not realize it or not, but you really are so hardwired for this that we are all constantly worshiping something, whether we realize it or not. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We looked at this verse 3 weeks ago. And by the way, as we kind of go through this today, we're gonna look at some verses that we've covered over the last several weeks. I don't expect you to remember any of them. I just want you to see how this whole conversation really does tie together when it comes to worship, okay? So Deuteronomy 30, we looked at 3 weeks ago. This was this moment in the history of Israel where Moses is leading these people up to the edge of the Jordan River, and they're getting ready to cross over into their future, and Moses is giving his farewell address. Some of you might remember that we talked about this. And Moses is saying to them, listen, remember, God has made a covenant with you people. He's given you a choice between life and death, blessings and curses. So now choose life, because the Lord loves you and the Lord is inviting you into this covenant. In the middle of that speech, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, Moses says these words. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. Now, do you see the assumption that Moses is making here in this passage? He doesn't say, if your hearts are drawn away from worship altogether and you stop worshiping. That's not what he says. He says, if you're drawn away to worship other gods. Because Moses understands that the reality of our lives is there's a fundamental way in which we were created to worship. And whenever we find something that we think will give us the life we desperately long for, then we will begin to ascribe worth and value to that thing. Famous quote here, but John Calvin famously said, our minds or our hearts, the human heart, is a perpetual factory of idols. We're constantly turning things into little g gods that we will worship and invest all kinds of our resources and time into because we think it will give us life, but it ultimately leads nowhere. See, you ever hear the phrase, you are what you eat? You know that phrase? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever been around a baby in growing up or whatever where like they've had way too many pureed carrots and sweet potatoes? What happens? They turn orange, right? It's like a little Oompa Loompa in your house. So it's true, you are what you eat. Well, guess what? It's also true, you are what you worship. The more you begin to think that there's something that's going to satisfy you and you begin to invest your time and your resources, you ascribe worth and value to that thing in your life, you will begin to look like a kind of twisted version of that thing. Think about it. If it's money or sex or success or fame or a certain kind of person, any of those things. Now, there's a good side to this as well, because whenever we worship God, the same thing happens. We begin to look like him. See, whenever you start to ascribe worth to God and you remove the idols from the throne of your life and instead place God in his rightful place as Lord and King over your life, when you do this, you'll begin to reflect who he is. In fact, you'll begin to reflect who God is to the rest of the world. In other words, you begin to look more and more like Jesus, and that is a really good thing. So if this is what we want, if we want to orient all of our life worship towards God, how do we do this? How do we make this really personal? Well, there's a number of different ways we can approach it, but let's just start here. It could be different for each of us. See, one of the things I think God has done in his church in just a really beautiful way is he's made his church richly diverse. And one of the ways in which we are diverse is in the multiple ways in which we can connect with God. See, there's some of you who the way you most are drawn into worship of God is connected to what we do on the weekends. It's the music, right? Whenever we're singing songs, you are lifting your hands high and you are connecting with the lyrics of the songs. In fact, it's not just on the weekends. Through the week, you're listening to music in your car and everywhere else, because when you hear that music going and you're singing those words, man, you just are drawn. It connects you in worship to God. But there are others of us who actually connect with God more in the silence. It's moments when we're out in God's creation and we're just reminded when the psalmist says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. It's like, yes. Now, to be clear, that's not nature worship, right? Because nature is not God. God created nature. God created all of this and his fingerprints are all over it. And so when we see his handiwork, we are drawn in to worship the one true God. Others of you, it could be something different. It could be that you connect with God when you're working really, really hard. Because there's just this supernatural sense that you have that God is empowering you to do things that are for the kingdom or that are going to somehow make this world a better place. And so when you are checking things off your to-do list and you are getting it done and you get to the end of a really busy day and you land on your couch exhausted and you start recounting all of the things that you accomplished in that day and you feel that sense of accomplishment and success and you go, ah, that's worship for some of you. Others, it's what we were talking about earlier. It's connecting with people. It's just when I'm in relationship, when I get a chance to have a really sweet, meaningful conversation, or when I get to just love somebody who's in my life, or when we get to sit down to a meal together, in those kinds of moments, I see God loving me through these people, and that becomes worship for me. Here's the thing. There are some people who have called these worship pathways, because they're all ways in which we can approach God in worship. And it's worth thinking about because when it comes to this idea, God wires us in different ways to connect with him. So what is it for you? Do you know? Do you know what your particular worship pathway might be? Some of you, it might be reading the Bible. When you uncover some deep theological truth and the synapses begin to fire, that's inspiring for you. Others of you, it's in the stillness of prayer. When you were listening for that still small voice of God and you hear him speak to you, that can be worship. But what is it for you? Here's what I'd like for us to do. Let's go back to the people we were just talking to a minute ago and answer a different question. What do you think your worship pathway might be? Now, again, there are some of you who are early enough on this, you're like, I don't really even know if I would call this worship yet. It's okay, that's a good, honest answer. But begin to take a step in that direction. What could this be for you, okay? Talk to each other. What do you think is your worship pathway? And we'll keep trucking. Okay, it's the interesting thing that some of what you guys, did what you just shared next to the person next to you, did it, any of it connect back to what you were sharing earlier? It's kind of interesting how sometimes that works. Let me ask you this question. Did anybody feel like you have more than one pathway? Yeah? Okay, so that's absolutely the case. For me, creation is definitely one of those pathways for me. If you put me outside near a body of water and there are trees and rock formations around, I just see God's fingerprints all over it and I am drawn into worship. But at the same time, there are those moments for me where I'm with people that I love and care about. Could be friends, could be family, and time just slows down for me. It really is kind of an out-of-body experience, right? Where you just look around at all these faces of people you love and you go, oh my gosh, how much does God love me that I get to do life with these people? And it just, it becomes worship. So whatever that is for you, this is so important. It's an opportunity for us to declare in these moments, God, you are so good. God, I love you. God, you are worthy of all of my worship. But let me shift gears now and talk to you about some of the ways that I think all of us are called to step into worship together. Because some of this can be really personal and individual, but the truth is there are things that the Bible calls all of us to step into. All of us are supposed to be able to do this. You guys remember now, I said that in all these things that God invites us to, community, the abundant life, the mission of God, that worship kind of cuts through all of them and kind of makes all of these come together. Let me show you now how that works. First one is this. If we are invited into community with God and with each other, then that means that one of the things we are called to do is to worship together. We're supposed to gather together to worship God. So again, this is another one of those verses that we looked at. This was a month ago, 4 weeks ago. But in Acts chapter 2, Luke is describing this community that is beginning to form. It's the church, but they're not calling it the church yet. These are just followers of Jesus who are starting to gather together. And in Acts chapter 2, look at what Luke says they're doing. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In other words, they started getting together on a regular basis to do all of the things that we do whenever we gather together on the weekends. So a part of our worship is just regular weekly worship, corporate worship, some people will call it. We get to do that together. This is a part of how we're called to worship. When you come to church and you make worship a regular part of your routine, man, can I tell you what good that will do you? Let me come at it from this angle. Can I talk shop with you for just a second? Like ministry talk? People who like do ministry for like church work for a living and that kind of thing. Like, here's the thing. There are statistics out today that most of us just kind of now take for granted, which is this. Most churchgoers in the United States only attend church about once every 3 or 4 weeks. That's just kind of the new normal. So like when we are making ministry plans for the year, when we're talking to other churches, this is kind of a baseline assumption that we will make. People attend church about once every 3 or 4, a little bit more than once a month. Now here's the thing, that's some of you. And you need to hear me. I'm not bringing this up to shame you or to criticize you or anything like that. The truth is, the way we are living our lives is changing in some ways. People are connecting in different ways. We are busier in some ways than we've ever been. There's a lot going on the weekends. And so some of that is just kind of, like I said, the new normal. But the reason I'm bringing it up is I really do want to challenge some of you to give weekly worship a try. To actually make this a part of your regular life rhythm. Writer of Hebrews says that if you do this, it'll encourage you. Look at what he says in Hebrews 10. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. This is exactly why some of us make a commitment to be here every weekend, because we really do believe we need each other. Part of doing this life with God means being in community with one another. Now, every once in a while, one of our pastors on our pastoral team will sit down with somebody during the week who's meeting because they feel disconnected. They feel like they're not a part of what God is doing here at the church. They feel like they don't belong. They're struggling to get connected. And when we have these conversations, so often what it really boils down to is just regular church attendance. You just need to make a point to be here, and that will make all of the difference to be a part of this community. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up for you right now is because we are in a particular place in time as we get to ready to head into the next season of ministry. This is a perfect time for you to begin to make a new commitment to be here. Because where we're headed over the next few weeks is going to be so... Can I give you like a sneak preview of where we're headed? Okay, so next weekend is Labor Day weekend. August 31st, September 1st is when our services are. We have a new guest speaker. He's never taught here before, but he's gonna come and speak to us that weekend. Many of you know that there's a church in Houston called Ecclesia who we just absolutely love. We partner with that church. We're in relationship with them. We love those people. Well, one of their pastors, Sean Palmer, is gonna come next weekend and teach us. For those of you who participated in a small group for Advent Conspiracy this last Christmas, if you participated in the video experience of all of that, then you already know Sean because he was one of the teachers, so you'll be familiar with him. We are so excited for him to come and bring a word from God for us, and that's next week, and it'll be great. Weekend after that, September 7th and 8th, is For the Lou, right? So let me just remind you, we are canceling all of our services at our physical campuses so that we can move out into the community of St. Louis and serve. And we're gonna talk more about the serving part of it here in just a minute, but let me talk to you about the worship part for just a second. Even though we are not gonna be meeting in our physical campuses, we're putting together an online worship experience that all of you are invited to participate in. Okay, so it will be on all of the platforms that you're used to watching us on, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, The Crossing Dot Online, Roku, all of those. And that service will be broadcast at regular service times, so 4:30, 6:30, 9, and 11. And then after that, it'll be on demand. But I told you guys, our creative teams have been working really hard to create a really neat, really powerful video worship experience for you to tune into. And even just a few days ago, they recorded some of the worship portion of this thing. And man, people who are in that room said, gosh, it was just so good. So you all will get a chance to participate in that the weekend of September 7th and 8th. We'll talk more about For the Lou here in just a minute. Weekend after that, September 14th and 15th. You wanna put that date on your calendar now and make plans to be here that weekend. Our lead pastor, Greg, will be back. He will be kicking off a new series and is inviting a friend to come help him kick it off. So Stu Gerard is the lead guitar player for a band called Delirious. Now, some of you know who Delirious is. Some of you may have never heard of them before, and that's okay, but I just need you to know Stu's kind of a big deal, okay? Delirious is a band that for a generation produced worship music and creative experiences and songs for the church. You don't get to bands like Hillsong without Delirious. In fact, if you're familiar with the song that we sang right before I came up here, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever, that's a Delirious song. So Stu's going to be here. He's going to help lead worship on guitar. He's going to talk to Greg. They're going to have a conversation. Stu has been engaged in this project called the Beatitudes Project, and he's going to share a little bit about what that is. But that Sunday night, September 15th, we're going to watch a film that has been produced that Stu's a part of that is kind of goes with this whole project he's working on. You're invited to come and watch that film together, and then we'll have a discussion about it. It's going to be such a cool weekend. So make plans to be here. This whole project that Stu will be talking about is based on the Beatitudes, the very beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And like I said, that will kick off where we're headed in the fall, because for the next couple of months, what we're going to be talking about, you talk about profound. It's the greatest sermon ever preached. The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapters 5 through 7. We are going to look at the words of Jesus. They are at times encouraging. At times they'll punch you in the gut. Sometimes they're hysterical and will make you laugh. And at other times they will make you cry. But you got to come and hear the words of Jesus as we go through this together. That's where we're heading. We're calling this new series The More Than Good Life. So you don't want to miss it. September 14th, 15th, come join us and we'll be a part of it. This is what we get to do when we come together for church. So make your plans. Get in on this with us. It'll be good for all of us. You'll be encouraged. You'll be inspired. You'll be invited to worship. And we will do this together because that is a part of what we are called to do in the body of Christ. But it's just a part of it. If you keep reading scripture, what you start to see is that our worship is supposed to spill out. It's supposed to be more than just what we do together on the weekends. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how one of these invitations is to the abundant, eternal, rich life with Jesus. You guys remember when we talked about that? And one of the verses we looked at there was Colossians chapter 3. Paul uses all of these. This is where he uses all of the one another's. So be kind to one another, be compassionate to one another, forgive one another, have peace among yourselves, all of those kinds of things. Right at the end of that passage, there's one more verse that we didn't look at, but I wanna look at it right now. Look at what Paul says. He says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In other words, everything you do can be a part of your worship. As long as you do it in the name of Jesus and give God the credit. Everything, this entire life we live, this abundant, eternal, vigorous, hope-filled life can in its entirety be an act of worship. Paul has a lot to say about this, actually. In fact, I want us to look at another letter of his, Romans. This is kind of a famous verse here, but in Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about this kind of worship, and this is what he says. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Now, what Paul is actually talking about there is this Old Testament tradition where people would actually bring an animal. It would be without blemish. It'd be like a kind of a flawless animal, which is why it was holy and pleasing to God. And they would bring this animal to the altar and place it on the altar and sacrifice it as a way of saying, "God, you, everything we have is from you to begin with. We're just returning now a portion of it to you to say thank you. You're worthy of our worship. You are good and you love us. And so now please receive this as an offering." But now Paul's going to turn the whole thing upside down for us. Because the offering that Paul says we're to bring on the altar in sacrifice is us. It's you and me. Only now it's a living sacrifice. In other words, we come to God and we go, God, I surrender it all to you. My whole life, I'm offering up all of it as an act of worship to you. Now, Eugene Peterson's got a great paraphrase of this verse, and this is what he says. He says, just take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. See, there's so much to this idea here, and we barely have time to even scratch the surface on it, but this invitation to worship God is something that we can allow to permeate every aspect of our lives. And when we do that, it'll change us. And it'll change the world around us, because it'll start to change how we love one another, how we live, how we talk to our family and our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers. It'll change the way that we enter into these moments where somebody asks us to do something, and so we do it with a really positive attitude, and then when it goes well, we give God all of the credit. And how we deal honestly with one another, because we just think that honors God. All of these are ways we can offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice. And then one more, how we serve. And this idea connects us back to the mission that we're invited into, because we worship God by how we serve. Let me just show you one more verse from Paul now, but it's a favorite of mine. So in Philippians chapter 2, Paul says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Paul is saying that Jesus made himself nothing. He emptied himself eventually to become obedient even to death on a cross. And it was ultimately this sacrifice of Jesus on the cross that was the ultimate act of humility. And Jesus did this on our behalf. But what Paul's telling us here, the emphasis he's putting on this verse, is that when it comes to our attitudes towards one another, we should exhibit this same kind of humble servanthood. Jesus said, no servant is greater than his master, which means that if we're followers of Jesus, you and I are called to serve, which means, once again, how we serve and how we live and how we love is just as important as what we're doing. See, I quoted David earlier in this message. Now let me quote another pastor who I love and respect. In his book, Greg says this, remember, what we do matters, but how we do what we do matters. And the what and the how are inextricably connected. So if that's true, now let's talk about For the Loo. So first of all, we're blown away by what God is doing. You guys realize that, like, you put our teams on high alert, they are scrambling to come up with more serving opportunities for y'all, because when we put up opportunities, you guys filled them. Like, filled them. It's done, all of them. And so now we're trying, yeah. It's crazy. So we're doing this. Like, this is happening, right? And there's some of you who are maybe a little bit late in the game and you're going, how can I get plugged in? I wanna serve, I wanna help. There's still opportunities. Let me give you a couple of them here. One is you can donate stuff. If you go to the website, which is thecrossing.church/fortheloo, and you click on the filter donate, there's all kinds of stuff, like used furniture, toiletries, diapers, like all kinds of things. And we'll have drop-off spots throughout the week that you can sign up for. And so you can look and you can jump in on all of that. That's one way you can do it. But let me give you another one. You don't need our permission to serve. See, there's some of you who have an organization that you partner with that you're already passionate about. Go for it. Some of you have someone in your life, a neighbor or a friend or maybe even somebody at church who could use some serving. Go for it. If you know that there's a need in your neighborhood or on your street or in your workplace or whatever, and you can serve your community that way, I love this thought that there are gonna be some of us who are gonna say that God is for this community and we are for the Loo simply because we are going to reach out and serve somebody on our very street. That's great. The only thing we would ask of you is that you let us know what you're doing, because we wanna be able to celebrate that and celebrate all that God is doing in our community. But here's the thing, for those of us who did sign up to serve and who are now getting ready to do this, I know we're excited to go do this in a week from now, but we need to have a little bit of a family meeting before we go serve together. I need to speak to you as a pastor. So can we just gather around the kitchen table and we can all stare at our feet while I tell you some things? Here it is. First of all, we said this a couple of weeks ago. Now that you've signed up, it's great. You gotta show up, right? I can't tell you, this isn't for us, this is for the community. I cannot tell you how important it is to show people that when you sign up for something that you're gonna follow through and do what you said you were gonna do. That's one of the ways we're going to tell this community that we are for the Lou, is by showing that we've got great follow through. So now that you've signed up, please, please show up. I can't tell you how important that is. But then this. When you show up, let's reflect the attitude of Jesus and really just serve. All right, this is an opportunity for us to put a towel over our arm and to show up and say, I'm here. How can I help? What can I do? Does that make sense? Let me dial it in a little bit tighter. Anybody familiar with the term mansplaining? Some of you are, some of you have no idea. So let me fill the rest of you in, all right? Let me explain this to you. Mansplaining is a new term. It's this idea that like when a dude comes into the room and is like, hey, technically it would be better if you do it this way, because I don't know if you know, but the barometric pressure, whatever, they just want to sound like the smartest person in the room, okay? That's mansplaining. Now here's the thing. It's a little bit of a misnomer because I'm going to tell you, I know some women that are just as good as mansplaining as the men. So all of us are on the hook for this. I'll confess to you that this is something that I do sometimes. In fact, one of my wife's least favorite things about me is when she'll be cooking something and I'll come up behind her and go, are you sure you're doing that right? We just got in a fight about pizza two nights ago because I didn't like the way she was putting it in the oven. That's mansplaining. Now, why do we do this? Because we want to be helpful, but it's not helpful. So, a week from now, you're gonna be showing up to serve in your community. And you're gonna walk in and you're gonna see something that needs to be done, or you're gonna see something and you're gonna think, you know what? I think I know a better way to do this. I think I could make this organization that I'm serving more effective, more efficient, more whatever. And you're gonna be so tempted to start explaining it to them because you want to be helpful. Please don't. All right? Yeah, because really, as we move into this community, listen, we are not gonna act like we know better because we don't. We're not gonna act like we've got all the answers because we don't. We're not gonna walk into the community and act like we're committing some great heroic act because we showed up in a t-shirt and lifted something heavy. You know why we're not gonna do that? Because that does not reflect the attitude of Jesus. We're gonna show up in our community and we're gonna be humble servants. What do you need? I'm here. How can I help? As we move into this now, let's lovingly and humbly and quietly and with great kindness and deference make ourselves nothing. And let's just be servants. Can we do that? Because I tell you what, when we do that, that's worship. And it lifts the name of Jesus high. This is what Paul tells us. He says, Jesus became nothing. He became a servant. He made himself obedient even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, here it is, and then we're done. When we worship this way, when we offer our lives as a sacrifice to God, when we serve, when we move in and we do this, we declare with our lives, with our hearts, with our attitudes, that Jesus is Lord. And everyone around us will begin to feel that heaven is so close. We become the thin place. These last couple of weeks have been crazy for my wife and I. It's been busy. It's been hard. Nothing y'all need to worry about or, you know, anything like that. I'm just whining, okay? Ushers are going to come around and pass out some cheese to go with the wine. But it's been tough. We've been investing in some things that we think God has for us for the future, and we've been trying to figure that out, and it's been a challenge. And then on top of all of that, we sent our oldest kid to his first year of high school, and then the younger kid just started his last year of elementary school. And so I'm telling you, there have been those moments where my wife and I have looked, like, as we're walking out of the school, looking at each other, trying not to cry, and going, is this really happening? I don't know if anybody's told you this, but it goes by really fast. And so we've just been in this tough season, and some of our friends and family have known about it. And I can't tell you these moments where a friend would just reach out and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. We had somebody sent us a card in the mail. We've had people bless us in really just sweet, kind of specific kinds of ways. This last week, I had a conversation with a friend here at work who kind of knew all that I was just kind of going through. And he said, listen, even in this season, I want you to thrive. And so if I can help, let me know how I can help. Do you know when people serve one another that way? Do you know how much each of those moments was a thin place for me? We're going to move into our community in a couple of weeks and do something awesome. But we don't have to wait until then. As we go home now, and as we begin to talk to our families and our coworkers and our friends and our neighbors, let's love the way Jesus loved. Let's serve the way Jesus served, and let's be for them a thin place. And let's declare to the world around us, He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He's Lord. Some of you know that song. He is Lord. If you know it, sing it with me. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We started today with this beautiful experience where we got to remember communion together. We got to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, how His body and blood were poured out for us so that we could be forgiven and be in relationship with Him. We've now worshiped together. We've prayed. We've devoted ourselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So now that we've done all of that, let's let the worship not stop here. As we leave this place, let's continue to declare this together. In fact, wherever you are, can we sing that one more time? In fact, will you stand and let's sing this together? Let's go out of here with these words on our lips and in our hearts. And let's reflect them with our attitude and with our actions. He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen.